Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Give me just another moment to find it. I'm going to actually read the entire chapter to you, but I am going to ask you to stand and stretch in honor for the reading of God's Word. Sorry you'll have to stand so long, but I won't feel too sorry for you because I stand the whole time. But Hebrews chapter 3. Did anybody need to borrow a Bible? If you do, lift your hand. Our ushers will bring you one. Anybody? Might check over there. Gentlemen. So, I think you might need one over there. Hebrews chapter 3. And verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful to all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, and as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm, unto the end. Wherefore, verse 7, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear this voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart or unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Verse 8 will be our text verse. Let's read it one more time. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And let's pray, and you may be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we ask you, Lord, that you'd bless, Father God, our time this morning. Help me, Father, to be filled with your sweet Holy Spirit. Use me now, Lord, to speak on this subject about having hard hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. There is a physical disease that's very dangerous to one's health. It's called the hardening of arteries. This disease normally occurs with aging. Plaque is built up over the years on the walls of the arteries, which restricts blood flow to, guess where, the heart, of course. And so what happens, the plaque, of course, can break off and move to smaller arteries and block them also. But they say this, it's a common cause of what we would call a heart attack. A heart attack, and it can be involved with a stroke also. My understanding, I'm no medical person by any way, shape, or form. We had one here this morning, amen, for our hospital Sunday, amen, during Sunday school. One of the nurses that took care of my father was here, but praise the Lord for that. My mother had won him to Christ in the rehabilitation hospital there. But anyway, the situation when my father father had had, when he was eating there at the restaurant and slumped down back in January, the first assumption was that he suffered a heart attack. Now, for him, that was not true. He actually had the bottom part of his heart stop working, and they call that, what was it, ventricular arrest or V arrest or something. Ventricular arrest, I think, is the proper term, which is a little bit different. But when he was in the hospital, they had, one of the nurses had said to us, so some of the family, I was there, of course, that his arteries were clean or very clear, which they said for somebody his age, which is 75, that was very unusual. In fact, that fella said to us, he said, I wish I would have arteries this clean when I'm that age one day. So his situation was a little bit different. He didn't actually have a heart attack, even though we say that all the time when people talk about it. But the truth of the matter is, the hardening of the arteries is a dangerous situation for anybody health-wise if it happens, and can be fatal, of course, to your physical heart. But this morning we're going to talk about the hardening of the heart and the fact that it can be fatal to a person's spiritual health, amen, and spiritual health. I'm afraid many Christians don't enjoy the Christian life very well, and in large part they don't because of the hardening of the heart. The hardening of the heart. And it's a shame, but that's what goes on. The spiritual heart is starving for, guess what, spiritual oxygen, amen? Spiritual oxygen. And their spiritual tissues are dying because what? They don't get the spiritual oxygen they need, and then what occurs is the hardening of the heart. Sadly, many Christians are on spiritual life support. It's a shame, but it's the way it is. In our day and age, it seems like a lot. And of course, no, they won't ever lose their salvation. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. But I am saying this, they're spiritually dying in their Christian life here on earth. And from that standpoint, they've lost their enjoyment of serving the Lord and living for the Lord like they should. They don't enjoy it like they once did, perhaps. And by the way, this spiritual disease isn't just for some. It can affect anyone. It can affect anyone. And to prevent it, we must learn what causes it this morning. And according to the scriptures, there's three things I want to give you that cause this hardening. Number one, the first is the sin of not going forward causes a hardening of the heart. The sin of not going forward causes the hardening of the heart. That's part of the problem. In our text verse, we had read verse 8, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. We see that Israel's hearts here were hardened. Why? We read the whole chapter to see what? They didn't go forward in the wilderness, did they? They didn't go forward like they were supposed to, amen? God's direction for your life is always one way, folks. Forward. 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 God wants you to go forward. Hey, God never sounds retreat. God never retreats. Doesn't have to, amen. He doesn't expect his people to have to retreat either, amen. He wants us to go forward in our Christian lives, amen. Just like he wanted the children of Israel to go forward in the wilderness, amen. One of the great problems with many of our Christians today is that they have stopped going forward in their Christian life. Say, what happens when that takes place? Their heart starts hardening. That's what happens. They're not going forward in their Christian life. They're not moving ahead. They're not doing the things that they once used to do. Going forward causes you to stay busy serving the Lord, folks. God does not want us to do something to plateau. That means we get to a certain place and we think we've arrived and we're there now and we're where we're supposed to be. Now, wait a minute. We talked a couple weeks ago about spiritual growth. You never get to the place where you're fully growing here on this earth. Amen? No, you got to step over to the other side before that'll ever happen. So we're always to be going forward. Once we plateau and stop, well, we're in trouble then. And once we stop going forward, we can have our heart to start to harden. And we've got to be careful about that. If you do the same things every year and never go forward and ever try to do anything more ever in your spiritual life as time goes on, you're setting yourself up for a hardening of the heart, folks. So here's the thing. Number one, underneath that subpoint, number one, you'll find that preaching is no longer enjoyable. That's one thing you'll find underneath that. Preaching is no longer enjoyable. When I used to preach, you used to enjoy it. But now you don't like it. Why? Your heart's hardening, that's why. Your heart's hardening. And what happens then is my preaching starts to make you irritated after a while. And eventually it just makes some downright angry. So why? Because they start taking it personal. Say, well, you're preaching at me. No, wait a minute. You used to enjoy the preaching. I'm not preaching anything different than I ever used to preach. In June, it'll be 11 years since we started this church. I ain't preaching anything different than what I preached since we first started. I mean, I'm preaching different messages, but it's still all the same topic line along the same things. It's still the book. Amen. Why is it used to be great for years, and then all of a sudden, after a few years, it becomes, we don't like it anymore. Why? Because their hearts are hardening. That's why. When the heart hardens, all of a sudden, they don't like the preaching. It's not enjoyable anymore. It's a shame, but that's what goes on. Say, well, what changed? My preaching didn't change. What changed? Their heart. Their heart changed. Hey, how about this? Secondly, underneath that, the singing of songs, the singing of the songs of Christ are laborious. Laborious. They become laborious. You used to love singing, but you don't care too much anymore. And why? Spiritual arteries are hardening. Spiritual arteries are hardening. That's why they don't like it much anymore. They used to love to sing. There's a buildup of plaque forming. But I'll tell you, when I see somebody and they won't even open a psalm book, we say stand and sing, and they won't even open a psalm book and they won't sing, you know what that tells me? It tells me they got a hard heart. Why? Because they can't even sing the praises of God. That tells me they got a hard heart. And I'm not talking about somebody who may have a language barrier or something like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying they don't even got the book open. I mean, they stand up, but they just sit there. They fold across their arms. They got their hands in their pockets, just standing there. They don't even open the book. They don't even try to sing. They don't want to sing. What's the matter? They got a hard heart. That's what's the matter. Hardening of the arteries. It's a bad thing to have happen. Hey, give me a third thing underneath that, number one. Reading the Word of God and praying are now a weight to you. Are now a weight, W-E-I-G-H-T. A weight. You used to look forward to your quiet times. You used to look forward to studying the Bible. You used to love to talk about God. Now all of a sudden it becomes heavy to you and it's hard to do and it's a weight on your shoulders and your back, and all of a sudden it's no longer enjoyable. You no longer look forward to it. You no longer can't wait to get in the Bible like you used to be able to. You almost couldn't wait to go read your Bible because you enjoyed it sometimes. Now it's a weight to you. What's happened? Spiritual arteries are hardening. The hardening of the heart is taking its toll on you. What happens? You begin to miss your devotions. First one day a week, then two, then three. Before long, you don't do it at all anymore. You don't even read them. Pretty soon, you just don't have a quiet time at all. What's happening? Hardening of the heart. Hey, if you don't go forward in the Christian life, you've plateaued. Your heart's starting to harden. It's going to set in, and it will affect you. Hey, number two, big number two now. Let's go back to, I guess we're still there, chapter 3. And let's look at verse 13. Verse 13 here says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be," notice this statement, "hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Notice that statement in verse 13. Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Huh. Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin? So number two this morning, according to verse 13, sin causes the hardening of the heart. Sin causes the hardening of the heart. Sin causes the hardening of the heart. Huh. Boy, oh boy. Be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, it said. One of the reasons we need to daily confess our sins to God is so we can remove that plaque that starts to build up. Amen. We've got to get that plaque builds up too much. that plaque that sin leaves in our hearts, amen, and say, well, I'll just never sin. Well, that's great. I think you ought to try not to sin. But there isn't anybody who's not going to have some sin, because we still got this sinful body of ours, and we're still going to do things wrong sometimes. But guess what? You need to confess and forsake it. And by the way, if you are the place where you think you don't sin, well, that just kind of tells the story right there. Amen. When you've got the right kind of heart, you know that you sin, you know that you do things wrong, you know that you need to confess it to the Lord and keep your heart right before Him. Amen. God wants us to do that. So, we need to daily confess our sins. Sin takes joy away from serving the Lord. As long as you allow sin to run rampant in your life, you set yourself up for, guess what, a spiritual heart attack. A spiritual heart attack. Most definitely. Sin blocks your access to God in prayer. You know, when you have unconfessed sin in your life, you can't even pray to God. He's not listening to you because there's a rift between you and Him. He's waiting for you to confess that sin. That's the prayer He's looking for. Instead, we sin and then we go to Him and we ask Him for something. Oh, we need $100 to pay a bill, so we're begging Him for $100. But wait a minute, we got a little rift between Him and I. I should confess that and get it out of there before I try to ask Him for $100. Amen. And we got to remember that. You got to keep that heart soft and tender. Amen. Sin's going to block your access to God in prayer. The more you sin, the more your heart becomes hardened towards the things of God, by the way. Be sure to daily get rid of your sin, and that hardening of the heart doesn't begin to set in on you. Let's look at verse 19 in our chapter here. So we see that they could not enter in. Notice this, because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. So thirdly this morning, according to verse 19 here anyway, unbelief in God's promises will cause hardening of the heart. Unbelief in God's promises will cause hardening of the heart. I'll say that one more time. Unbelief in God's promises will cause hardening of the heart. Every time you won't obey the promises of God, you're hardening your heart. Every time. Every time. Every time. Obeying the promise of God takes faith, folks. Faith has a way of removing that spiritual plaque that tries to set in on you. Amen. When you obey God's promises, you see God can reward your faith. And He wants to, by the way. It's a way of softening your heart towards the things that God wants you to be doing in your life. Amen. They couldn't go forward. Why? Because of unbelief. Hey, God wanted them to just go right on down there and take that promised land. Did they do it? No. Why not? Unbelief. We can't take it. It's full of giants in there. We can't handle it. But we're like grasshoppers in the sight of those boys that's in there. We ain't got a chance. Now, wait a minute. Didn't God already promise it to them? If God already promised them to them, it's a done deal. There's no reason to worry about it. Just go in and take it. You're going to get the victory. God promised you the victory. They had unbelief. Unbelief. Hey, listen, there's things in your life that you have unbelief about, and then what happens is you don't get those things, those promises that you felt you should have had. It was because of your unbelief that took place, and then you harden your heart because of it. The hardening of the heart. Well, that's a tough thing. That's a tough thing. Don't let unbelief hold you back. Let's talk about this before we close this morning. How do we prevent, or let's say cure, hardening of the heart? How do we prevent, or you can say cure, either one, the hardening of the heart? Let's take our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 should be just about right there, if not right there. Let's look at verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. And notice this statement at the end of the verse here, and is a discerner. Notice that word right there? A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So Hebrews 4:12 shows us that God's word is the cure for a spiritual disease. It's a discerner. Hey, that means it shows you what's really there. It's kind of like a mirror. It shows you. Here's the thing. You think you're not so bad. That's what we all do. We're not so bad. Guess what? You could have some. Let's say this. You get up. You put something on. You say, boy, you get out of your closet. You say, boy, this is going to look good together. And then you go out and you face the world and, you know, you look dumb because you don't match. It doesn't go together. What most likely happened? You didn't look in the mirror before you left, did you? Amen. Now, I'll tell you, the way some of these people dress, I don't know these days. I'll tell you, I went down South Street yesterday and saw a couple of people walking down the street in their pajamas wrapped in blankets. I think they just climbed out of bed and started walking down the street. But some people, they just don't look in the mirror and see what they look like. Hey, the Word of God is a discerner. It's a mirror. It shows us what's inside of us. We think our hearts are pretty good. But the truth of the matter is, wait a minute, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Hey, guess what? That's going to show us what's in our hearts. We got to try to keep it clean before God. This is what's going to help us, amen, that Word of God. God's Word goes into the innermost part of your heart and removes the plaque that sin leaves behind, amen. Let me give you some sub-points under this before we go home. Number one, God's Word builds your faith in His promises. What do we say held them back? Unbelief, right? God's Word builds your faith in His promises, amen. Faith is a necessary element that we must have in order to go forward, amen. We said we had to go forward. Did the children of Israel go forward through the promised land? No, not in the end they did they? No, they stopped, yeah. They didn't go forward. What happened? They had unbelief is why they didn't take the promised land, right? Yeah, guess what? God's Word will build our faith, amen. We've got to have that faith. We've got to have that faith. We've got to have that faith, amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is a necessary element. If we do not have the faith that we need in God's promises, we'll not be able to go forward like we should. Secondly, underneath that, God's Word motivates you to go forward. God's Word motivates you to go forward. So we're talking about how do we cure a hardening of the heart, or how do we prevent a hardening of the heart? Prevent or cure, either one. Obviously, we want to keep from getting it, or if we got one, we want to cure it. So God's Word motivates you to go forward. Proverbs 35 says, every word of God is pure and is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Luke 4:4, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by, guess what, bread alone, but by every word. Hey, imagine that. But by every word of God, amen. By every word. Hey, you got to have nourishment to go forward, bless God. How are you expecting to go forward without the nourishment you need? You got to have it, amen. You got to have it. So as you read God's Word, it motivates you to action, which can prevent the hardening of the heart. Amen. Hey, listen, we've got to have God's Word. We've got to have the belief that we need, the faith that we need to go forward, and then the motivation for action to go forward. God's Word can give us that motivation to go forward. And as we read God's Word, it motivates us to action and will prevent the hardening of the heart. Christians, stay in God's Word. Amen. If you find yourself experiencing a hardening of the heart, then ask God to remove the spiritual plaque that is there and start taking the steps to prevent the hardening of the heart by going forward and accomplishing something for God. God never intended for any Christian to sit still. God never intended for that. He intended for you to go forward in your Christian life, to move forward. Hey, listen, folks, I realize we people have jobs and they got bills to pay and they got things to take care of. But wait a minute, remember this one thing, though, Christian. Your main purpose on this earth was not that. Those things are a means to an end. Your main purpose on this earth was to live for God. Amen. First thing, if you're lost, amen, you got to get saved. your lost or on the way to hell. You got to realize that, hey, listen, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. God's provided one. That's Jesus Christ. He said you must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. So there has to be a moment in time I accept him as my personal Savior. You do that, you're saved. First step for a person after a Christian is to follow the Lord in baptism. How you do that, you're going forward, amen. Then God wants you to go to church, amen. Why do you got to go to church? So you can learn how to be a good Christian, amen. God wants you to read your Bible and pray also. God wants you to spend time, not just at church, at home. Amen. You're on your way to living for God. That's what he wants. Hey, guess what? You ought to go out soul winning, amen. We're talking about that in Sunday school lesson today, amen. Soul winning. He wants you to tell others that you got Jesus in your heart. Blaze and I were talking to a fellow yesterday. I was doing the talking, but he was with me. We're in the house. And he had just gotten saved. And I told him, I said, now what you need to do is, I said, you need to tell others that you've got Jesus in your heart and tell them how they can get Jesus in their heart. Me? He said. Yeah, you. See, it's not my job because I'm the preacher. It's my job because I'm a Christian. It's every Christian's job to tell others about how to become a Christian, amen. That's going forward in your Christian life, amen. The work, the bills, the house, the home, the cars, it's a means to an end. There's nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with having a decent income or any of those things. But that should not be the wherewithal of everything in your life. The number one thing in your life should be God Almighty and your relationship with him. Your arteries harden. Your heart hardens. You won't go soul winning. You won't even go to church after a while. You won't do any of the things that God wants for you to do. Don't forget, going forward is what he wants. You need belief and faith to be able to do that. The faith to have the belief that you needed to be able to do that. Got to have those things. Got to have those things, amen. That's what God wants, amen. That's what God wants. Definitely. 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 Let's not forget that. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.